Welcome to the Thrive Vineyard Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by our special guest speaker. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit thrivevineyard.com.
Well, I wanted to start by reintroducing myself, but I wanted to do so in a vulnerable way. So before I do so, I'm going to ask that you participate in a response to me. So I'm going to introduce myself, and you respond with these two words, hi and Ryan, in succession, and I will feel safe, and I'll feel connected to you in the process. Are you ready? So my name is Ryan Searles. I am a beloved son of the Most High God, and I currently struggle with anxiety, fear, lust, and people-pleasing.
Hi.
Yes, me too. Well, pastors Kevin and Molly have been sharing on healing, and that's exactly what I want to share today. They've been talking about that God wants to heal us, that God wants to use us to heal, what happens when God doesn't heal yet. And today, what I'm talking about is how do we prepare our hearts to be healed and to heal others through his power. So I've done an exhaustive, search of the Bible. I wanted to do a really good job today, and I've looked at commentaries. And the best way that I can illustrate how to prepare my heart, your heart, to be used for healing is to brag about my skateboard tricks. So I don't know if you know this, but I am a genuine, certified, non-professional, barely amateur skateboarder. It's all over the internet, if you've seen me. And I want to tell you about some tricks that I know how to do, okay? So I can do what's called a 180 shove it. And a 180 shove it looks like this. You're riding your board, you pop it up, the board turns 180, and you land on it. Pretty cool. I can actually still do this trick. Charlie can attest. He's seen it recently. I also know how to do something called a kickflip, which is you pop the board back, the board turns over this way in the air, and then you land on it. I can still do that trick, too. He's seen it the other day. Now I'm going to go into some tricks I haven't done lately. So another trick is you're riding along, pop the board, and the board actually spins 360 degrees and lands. Called a 360 shove it. I've done that trick before. Not recently. And then the piece de resistance that I want to talk to you about is something called the 360 kickflip. And the way it works is you ride along, you pop the board in the air, the board turns 360 degrees this way while it's turning 360 degrees this way. I have landed this trick once or twice. And I have a video of this trick. Now, this man is not me, but he plays one on TV. This is a 360 kickflip. I want you to just imagine me landing that trick right now. Well, I'll tell you, in order to land that trick, what's really important, timing is important. Having the trick, knowing how to do it is important. But you know what really is important is actually my posture when I hit that trick. And usually I have to get pretty low. Did you know that being used for healing, what's so important is the posture of our heart. As we approach the throne and cry out to God, our posture matters before God. Not just where our knees are, but where our heart is. That's what matters to God. So what are the forces? What are the things that can knock us off the skateboard? What are the things that can affect our posture? Well, there's really two things for me that I wanted to share today. One is the thing that I was born with. Sin and darkness. Sin. My inherited nature and even my history of hurt in my life has manifested in sin, sometimes daily, probably hourly, minute-wise. But there's another power that's affecting my posture that keeps me on the board, that keeps me ready for the miracle. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God in my life. It's the work of Jesus poured out in the Spirit. I can walk with the presence of God. And he speaks messages to me. I love you, Ryan. You're mine. I want to use you. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing. You're called of me. You're adopted into my family. But the question is, how, with these two forces, in order to do this really hard thing, I mean, healing is not easy. I mean, believing God for healing and having the courage to go heal somebody, that's hard. So I want to have both the forces working for God and working for the process. Because it says in Romans, God works all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. God can even use my brokenness, my hurt, my sin. How does he do that to bring the miracle? Well, are you like me? Are these forces at work in your life? Do you see good and evil working against you in your life? Do you ask, how can God use me to bring healing and life? And how could God heal me? How can I prepare my heart to be used by God? How can I get my posture right to pop the 360 kickflip? The ultimate truth is through Jesus Christ, it says in Romans 8:2, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set me free, set you free from the law of sin and death. Jesus Christ has broken that curse through his death on the cross and his resurrection. But we still sin. I still sin now. Anybody else sin in here? Yes, you do, Scott. But God forgives us, even now. God forgives us when we sin. It says in Ephesians, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. We have God's forgiveness. We have eternal life in Jesus. Yet we still see the earthly relational impact of our sin. It still hurts. It still causes damage to relationships, to health, to my testimony, and to his glory. In the men's retreat, guys all remember this, I talk about this thing called the hurt cycle. The hurt cycle. Now it begins with hurt. It begins with hurt. My story of hurt begins before I was born. My great-grandfather, as my dad shared with me this week, was violent to his son and was angry and disciplined his son in anger, which is just violence and abuse. My grandfather, I learned, was very bitter from this and held a lot of the reason that he didn't graduate from high school and accused his father for that, and had bitterness and anger and even rage, and brought it into his home while he raised my dad. You know, he had a quick fuse. He had a temper. He had anger. And he passed this on to his son, my father, as my dad and I talked about this week. My hurt begins when I was born and I was raised. Now, my family, I had an amazing family. My dad's the reason that I'm a Christian. I point to him. You're the reason that I follow the Lord today. You're the reason that I'm going to heaven, because you introduced me to Jesus. He's the reason I'm probably still married, the reason I have so many kids. But my dad wasn't perfect. He hurt me. And I've forgiven him. But that's where my hurt began. It also began with when I was 8 years old. There was a boy in my street who showed me things that he shouldn't have shown me. Images, magazines. That hurt me. But it's not just things that happened to me. I got hurt when I hurt So when I treated my brother Justin cruelly. Cruelly. I was like terrible to him. I was unkind. I was shoving him away. I was sometimes violent with him. I don't even know why I was. But when I hurt him, that put the pain of regret into my heart. How were you hurt? Because everybody in this room was hurt. Everybody has a wound at various times. Fathers that were imperfect, mothers that were imperfect, family that raised you, we all got hurt. So that hurt, the second thing is that hurt, it doesn't naturally heal. Now, a physical hurt, that can heal with time. But an internal emotional hurt, time does not heal all wounds. I'll just tell you right now, it just doesn't heal. In fact, it comes out. It doesn't heal on its own. It ebbs and flows. I mean, even in my life, sometimes it's hardly detectable. But sometimes it's very detectable. And I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm thinking, well, maybe it's this situation. It's that person's fault. It's something going on. Something's wrong with the world. But the truth is something was wrong in me. Something was still hurting in me. And so what do you do with hurt? What do I do with hurt? I want it to stop hurting. So I learned ways to numb the hurt. I learned ways to try to change my mood, because ultimately hurt, I feel sad. I'll feel angry or I'll feel scared. And so I try to numb the hurt. That little 8-year-old boy taught me how to numb the hurt in my life. So what is it for others? Other people I've spoken with as well. Not just sex. It can be alcohol. It can be drugs. It can even be relationships. It can be certain behaviors. It can be eating. It can be anything. Anything we do to unhealthily numb pain that's deep inside, that continues the hurt cycle. It's not God's plan. That's not how He wants to heal us. He doesn't want to the anesthesiologist can't do anything for you. All he does is get you through to the guy that can do something for you. But the real horror of numbing isn't just the fact that it causes relationship damage. Isn't just the fact that it causes career damage, life damage. But here's what I want to show you. Imagine 6 candles. There's 5 there, but imagine one more. And on the one side, you've got sadness and anger and fear. And oh, I'd love to numb those. I'd love to just those for the rest of my life. But on the same candelabra, you've got joy and excitement and tenderness. The problem with numbing is that it's not selective. It doesn't just numb the sadness and anger. It numbs the joy. It numbs the excitement. It numbs the tenderness. And then eventually what happens is things get dark. And when things get dark, things get cold. And a necropsy, a deadness sets in. And that's not how He intended us to live. He doesn't want us dead inside. He wants us alive inside. And then the candles, He wants the candles burning. So this damage, this thing that I do, can cause more wounding. Not just wounding me. When I'm numbing, I'm wounding myself, but I can be numbing and hurting others. So the cycle continues. And I can take part, if I'm not careful, even as a forgiven Christian that loves God, that is walking in faith, I can be a participant in this cycle of hurt. Because hurt people hurt people. The thing that locks me in this cycle, the thing that keeps me spinning round and round and round in my life, is a 5-letter word. It's called shame. Shame has lots of definitions, but I want to read one to you. It says, it's a painful feeling or experience or belief that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love or belonging or connection. When I do something wrong, I naturally feel shame. Naturally. This is why Adam and Eve hid from God. They felt shame. They were afraid. They felt shame. God can bring a wonderful thing called conviction. He can bring the Holy Spirit to say, Ryan, that's not good for you. And so it sounds like this. Conviction says, I made a mistake. Shame says, I am a mistake. That keeps me in the cycle. Conviction says, I need to be forgiven. Please forgive me, Father. Shame says, I'm unworthy of forgiveness. Stay in the cycle. And lastly, conviction says, I did wrong. Shame says, I am wrong. And that locks, if I believe that, it locks me into the hurt cycle. The less I talk about my shame, the more I have it. God is not okay with me and you in the hurt cycle. He came to set us free from that. And at the men's retreat, we talked about the heal cycle. Now, I said we, didn't I? I said that very intentionally because in order for me to break free from the heal cycle, I need to find my people. I need to find my people. In Genesis, it says, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for Ryan to be alone. It's not good for Dan to be alone. I have to find people that are compatible with me. Not everybody are my people. I mean, no offense, you're not all my people. I have to find people in my life that are willing to listen, willing to love me and not judge me, willing to be honest with me about their stuff. I need to find my people. In my life, I try to find my people wherever I live. I even hold on to some people even after I move away. But in this season, I found my people. Nick and Chrissy, you are my people. Luke, Alex, Andrew, and Justin, you are my people. You are my people, Dan. We can only break free from that hurt cycle when we seek and find our people. And when we find our people, we can enter into this wonderful cycle of life and freedom called the heal cycle. And it begins with the posture of my heart, doesn't it? I'm not going to get on this thing. Don't worry. I'm just going to stand here. But it begins lower, 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 lower. Matthew 23:12, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Micah 6:8, what does the Lord require of you? Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. This is what it looked like with the prodigal son. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me a share of the estate. So he divided it among them. And not long after that, the son got together all he had and he set off for a distant country, squandering his wealth in wild living. After he spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country and people began to be in need. And he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out as a citizen of that country who sent him to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but when no one gave him anything. Then it says, when he came to his senses, he realized, I can't go on like this. I need help. In the alcoholic's life, this is, they call this hitting bottom. In my life is when I had thoughts of suicide. Yes, I did. In your life, it might be when something big breaks, get fired, lose a job, a relationship ends, a major health issue caused by certain behaviors, unhealthy behaviors. It doesn't have to be a big stick like this. It can be, the Holy Spirit can use a small thing, if we're open to it, to wake us up the fact that we have a problem. I have a problem. Everybody has problems of varying degrees. But the Spirit will use, not cause, use disaster to call us back home to the Father. So the next step in the heal cycle is to confess myself. This is more than just starting a list of my sins. All right, hello, my name is Ryan. I would like to start out with my sins, A, B, C, 15. No, I'm confessing myself. I find my people, I'm confessing my whole self. Here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm feeling. Here's what I'm believing. Yes, this is what I'm doing. These are the mistakes I'm making. I want you to know me. I'm going to confess my whole self. It's the hardest part, to be honest with you. But that's the way that I posture myself to get ready to be healed and to be used. It's by telling the truth. And when I do that, let me read to you. When I do that, something wonderful happens. It says in James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Confession and healing. There's a link there. Something miraculous happens when we obey God in confessing. Healing begins. Maybe it sounds like this. I am afraid. I was physically abused. I was addicted to sex. I am addicted to sex. My father never told me he loved me. My mother died when I was 16. I've lied to my wife. I can't stop this behavior. I have to control others to be safe. Maybe it sounds like that. I've either said these things or heard these things in my time. But when we confess ourselves, when I confess myself to people, miracles start to happen. I experience healing. My brothers pray for me. They listen to me. But that's not all. Here's the best part. Is that when they hear me, when they see me confessing myself, they see God healing me, they are affected and healed in the process. That's the miracle. That's when he does something incredible. We both get healed. Slowly but surely. And as the Lord heals me, the pain changes and I learn new tools, new ways to heal, healthy ways. And then my behavior starts to change. I stop doing the things that to numb. Addiction turns into praise. Alcoholism turns into prayer. Unhealthy relationships turn into godly relationships with brothers. Healed people heal people. Did you see what just happened? Through obedience, God took that force pushing me off the skateboard, sin and darkness. He took my brokenness. He took my hurt. He took my shame. He took my ashes and he made beauty. And that's how we can posture my heart. We can posture our hearts for the miracle. And then what happens? Something wonderful inside of me. The candle is relit. The joy returns. The tenderness returns. The excitement returns. The bones start to dance and the flesh comes back on. And the stone is broken that a real heart can feel again. I am healed. I am his son. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. And he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness from the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Remember I told you about my brother? This is cool. This is cool. I decided I've been in a process to make amends, so I sat down with him on July 4th, about 2 weeks ago. And we talked about different things, and I said, you know what, I want to tell you something. I was really mean to you. I was a total jerk. I think I even swore. I was such a bad person to him when I was 12 to 18. And I said, I am sorry. I need you to forgive me because I can't go on not knowing that we're restored. I need your forgiveness. And he said, I forgive you. And I already did a long time ago because he's an awesome guy. But he said, let me tell you something. When you went away on a mission trip, when you were 18, I said, here goes the jerk. Let's see what's going to happen. But when you came back, changed by God, I realized then there God is real. My brother's a pastor today. He took my ashes and he made beauty. So what about you? Are you addicted to something or someone? Do you struggle with sin like me? Anger, lust, fear? All alone, are you unable to break free like me? Do you feel like something inside of you is just not right? Does it hurt? Do you believe something is holding you back from releasing his healing power? Are you ready to posture your heart before the Lord in all humility? Are you ready to be healed? Are you ready to tell your own story? Are you willing to tell the truth about what you did so that God can use it to heal you and others? That confession. Is today the day for the favor of God to be proclaimed over your life? Is it time to break the power of shame and bring you into the healing cycle of life, freedom, wholeness, excitement, joy, tenderness? Are you willing to take the risk? Because it's risky. Are you willing to let it go? It says, for God says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, the time of my favor, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you now, this is the time of God's favor. Now is the time, the day of salvation. So we're going to have a time of ministry. Let me pray for us as we do that. And I just want to invite up some of the ministry people. We pray here. We can start something powerful. But I want to pray for each person here. Would you stand with me? And I'll turn it over. You want to say something? Am I good to pray? Okay. I just want to pray for each one of us. Father in heaven, we come to your throne. We cry out for healing, Lord. Would you speak to our hearts now, Lord, that which you want to heal? Would you speak to each man and woman here, Lord, that what you want to heal, that what you want to restore? Lord, would you call us into wholeness? Call us into joy and tenderness and excitement. Teach us, God, by your Holy Spirit, what you want to change in our lives. And give us, Lord, the courage to reach out, receive your forgiveness, but also be part of a relationship, a trusted relationship, that we can tell our story, that we can tell our truth and be healed. We love you, Lord. We know that you are not satisfied with your kids hurting. You do not want us to live in hurt. That's not what a father does. A father wants his son whole. And so we want to respond to your invitation today, Lord, for wholeness and life, for freedom. And Lord, we want to be used to be warriors, healing warriors, taking back ground from the enemy.